You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In an ancient Roman drill field, or in a world like ours where destruction is the order of the day, the cry of the human race has been the same: kill. In answer to the destructiveness of our world comes the word of a resurrected and living Lord. It is a word of life. I am come that they may have life.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
This is Oswald Hoffman. Today, Christians observe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We of the International Lutheran Layman's League invite you to join us today for an unusual Easter experience. At this point, I shall say no more. I just invite you to listen to what follows, and after that, I shall return with a short message.
The captain wants to see you.
Now?
Yeah, he's on the other side of the drill field. On the double.
You wanted to see me, Captain?
Yes, at ease, Private. I just wanted to give you a word of commendation for your performance in this unit. You've been with us only a short time, but you're building a good record for yourself. Training, inspections, you performed your duties very well.
Thank you, sir.
In fact, the only thing that prevents me from recommending you for promotion is a report I've received of some of your off-duty involvements.
Off-duty involvements, sir?
Yes. You've been seen several times at meetings conducted by a man who's considered to be a radical, highly subversive, in fact. This teacher, whatever he calls himself, in my opinion, is an enemy of our government. Are you involved in this?
Well, sir, I've been to hear him a few times, but I didn't see anything disloyal about him or what he said. He just...
Private, you are a member of an elite unit, my unit, and I will not tolerate any activity that smacks of disloyalty or disrespect for authority.
I was under the impression, sir, that what I did on my own time was my own business.
Now, you listen to me, Private. This unit is my life. And as long as you are part of it, it will be your life. We will be the finest unit in this command. No one, but no one, is going to take that away from me. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
The man you've been associating with has been convicted of treason.
Justice moves quickly, doesn't it, sir?
I think we need to do a little work on your attitude, Private. Report to my office at the end of training today.
Yes, sir.
See if we can't take care of this loyalty matter at the same time.
I'm here to see the captain.
He's in his office. Better knock first.
Come in.
Reporting is ordered, sir.
At ease, Private. As I've thought about our conversation this morning, I've become more and more concerned about your attitude and the possibility that underneath a satisfactory performance, you're loyalty may be in question.
Oh, sir, I don't think
I'm going to give you a chance to change your attitude and prove your loyalty. Do you see what I'm holding?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with this weapon? You've been trained in its use?
Yes, sir.
And what is its purpose?
To wound or kill the enemy.
Are you prepared to use this weapon against anyone who is considered to be an enemy?
I've been trained in its use, sir, and I believe I could use it to...
I don't think you can, Private. I don't think you've got what it takes to kill another man. This teacher of yours might not approve of that.
I didn't hear him saying anything about killing, sir. He talked mostly about how we should live, about peace... and love, and...
And you are a follower, a member of this man's organization, aren't you?
No, sir. There is no organization. He just helps people, that's all. I do believe in that.
Private, it has been decided that this man's teachings and activities are a threat to the people. He is under sentence of death. The fact that a member of my unit has been associated with him greatly disturbs me.
But what is he guilty of, sir?
At this point, his guilt or innocence is no concern of ours. That has already been decided. The governor has assigned the task of his execution to this unit. I'm assigning you to the detail. When you leave here, you will report to the sergeant of the guard for instructions. Any questions?
Well, sir, I...
You don't know if you can carry out an order against this friend of yours. I don't know if you can either, Private, and that is precisely what tomorrow will tell me. You're in the wrong army and in the wrong unit to play games. If you fail, I'm sure you're aware of the penalty for refusing to carry out an order. That is all.
Okay, that's it. You got your gear out of the arms room before I lock it up?
Yeah, it's out. Sarge, could I talk to you for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure. Hey, you eating yet?
No, I'm not really very hungry.
Ah, come on, you need something. Tomorrow could be rough. The crowds will be out for this one. You scared?
Like I've never been before.
You ever been to an execution?
A few times. My other unit. It didn't bother me then.
But this one bothers you?
Yeah, it really does.
Why? You know this guy?
Yeah. No, not really. I mean, I barely know his name. I went to hear him 3 or 4 times.
And?
I don't know. I just feel like what he said was... well, something that made sense. Something I've been looking for. Something to, well, you know, believe in.
Believe in?
Well, the captain thinks I'm part of some secret organization that's plotting to overthrow the government.
Oh, boy.
But it's not like that at all.
Look, kid, we've talked a lot since you joined this unit. I like you. I know you want life to be beautiful and all that, but it ain't. Especially not tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's just something you gotta do.
And if I don't...
If you don't, you're gonna get it. Just like he will. Now, if you're ready for that, go ahead.
I wish I could. I wish I had the courage to...
Come on. Well, let's see how the mess hall plans to poison us tonight. You talk, I'll eat.
There's so much on my mind, I hardly know where to begin.
Details, Kane! Now the crowds ought to be kept off the streets and away from the prisoner during the movement to the execution site. Understand? Some of the people love him, and some of the people hate him. But today, he belongs to us. Okay, men? Let's move out!
Move back. Let's make some room here.
Kill him, the dirty rat.
You'll have to move back there.
Please, sir. I have some water for him.
I'm sorry, ma'am. No one is allowed to go near.
Oh, but can't you see how weak he is? They've beaten him something awful.
Ma'am, you'll have to take your water and move back.
There's a storm coming? Why don't you all go home? Or do you just want to stand there and watch him die? All of you, go away. Go home.
Hey, kid. You look beat. It was really rough out there today, wasn't it? Say, you better check your weapon and turn in. Get yourself some rest.
That's not where we keep them.
Hey, the captain said for you to take the day off and report for guard duty day after tomorrow.
How much farther is it to where they buried him?
Just up ahead, by those rocks.
Oh, man, I hate this lousy guard detail. Well,
you didn't need to put yourself on this detail. Sarge, I could have handled it okay.
Look, kid, the execution was 2 days ago. I know, it was rough, and you're still a little
I'm
upset.
All right. I've just been doing a lot of thinking, that's all.
No, I've been in this stinking army a long time, and I'm still not used to it. It's different in combat when it's either him or you. But after it's over, you still have to think about it.
Hey, relief for the guys. That's about time you guys got here. This is the most godforsaken duty I've ever had. Guarding the body yet. Nah.
Hey, any sign of trouble?
Well, a body ain't gone, if that's what you mean. Why would anybody want to steal it? If you ask me, this whole guard detail was just a good excuse to cancel our weekend passage. Anyway, it's yours for the next watch.
Hope you guys ain't afraid of ghosts.
Ah, shut up. Hey, we better put some wood on this fire. Looks like it might be cold and wet tonight.
How long have you been in the Army, Serge?
About 25 years, I guess.
You like it?
What do you mean, like it?
Well, you didn't have to stay in, did you?
Oh, I never got around to doing anything else, I suppose.
Do you think anyone will really try to steal the body?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm not worried about it.
Then why did you put yourself on guard with me?
Look, kid. It's like I told you before. I like you. I don't want to see you get yourself messed up over this thing. You know, the things you said about the guy the other night in the mess hall, like, what he did, how you wanted to believe the things he said. Well, it's all gone now. You gotta start from here and get your mind on something else.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, you take the first watch and wake me up if you hear anything.
Sarge?
Are you prepared to use this weapon against anyone who is considered to be an enemy?
I've been trained in its use, sir, and I believe I could use it to...
I don't think you can, Private. I don't think you've got what it takes to kill another man. This teacher of yours wouldn't approve of that, would he? And you are a follower, a member of this man's organization, aren't you?
No, sir.
I know you want life to be beautiful,
but it ain't. And it certainly won't be beautiful tomorrow.
Can't you see how weak he is? They've beaten him something awful.
Ma'am, you'll have to take your water and move back. Hey, Sarge, wake up. Look over there.
Oh, hey, what's the matter? What are you waking me up for? Your watch ain't over yet, is it?
Sarge, over there, the body, it's gone.
Oh, come on, how could it be? We've been here all the time.
I don't know, but it's gone.
Look, it takes 6 men to move that stone, and I didn't see no...
Sarge, it's him. There in the garden. Look, it's him. Sarge, it's him.
Oh, come on, kid. It's just your imagination.
No, it isn't. I saw him. They didn't steal the body. He isn't dead anymore. I helped kill him, but he's alive.
Hey, kid, come back here. You can't...
He isn't dead anymore. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Well, Captain, is our little incident under control?
Yes, Governor. All of the guards involved have been given a good sum of money with instructions to spread the word that the man's body was stolen by his followers.
And all the guards have cooperated?
All except one, sir. He remains in prison, but I hope that in time he'll come around to our point of view. After all, he's a sergeant with 25 years of service, and he has... too much to lose by sticking to this nonsense about the man being alive.
And what of our young private, who would not stop shouting of a resurrection?
He's been put to death, Your Excellency.
Very well. Once again, I wash my hands of this whole affair. I trust we shall hear no more of this rising from the dead.
He isn't dead anymore, said the private to the sergeant in the recreation of the Easter story you have just heard. I helped kill him, but he's alive. He isn't dead anymore. He's alive. People at the time of Jesus did not believe that a man would rise from the dead. They kept on thinking they had everything under control, just as the governor and the captain did, to avoid even thinking about someone rising from the dead. People were willing to believe that Jesus was a good man, even a martyr for a good cause. But to believe that he died for the sins of the world and was raised from the dead to guarantee the good news of forgiveness and life in his name, that was something else again. Some theologians have gone so far as to suggest that the apostles made up this story for their own benefit. It proves only one thing. Even some theologians find it hard to believe. Maybe you find it hard to believe, too. He died, not in a corner somewhere, but publicly, for everyone to see. On the third day after his death, he was raised from the dead with an open tomb from which the stone had been rolled away as mute evidence of what had happened. Of course, he appeared to this one, to that one, to this group, and to that group, and finally to a man known mostly for his antagonism to everything associated with the name of Jesus Christ. Who are you, Lord? The man asked in this strange interruption of his trip to Damascus. The reply came out of a light, brighter than the light of the sun. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. From that time, Saul, who changed his name to Paul, Never stop telling people about the command of that voice. So majestic in tone, yet so appealing to an adamant heart that it refused heretofore either to look or to listen. This man, Paul, stood up to King Agrippa, reminding him of something to which all of us could pay close attention. Why should it be thought incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Since that time, there have always been people who look to Jesus Christ in the midst of their misery, finding salvation and life in the good news of his resurrection from the dead. They discover that Jesus knew what he was doing, dying to live. They themselves have discovered the secret of life in faith that loves, dying to live. On one occasion, Jesus himself said, "Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." A kernel of wheat planted into the ground loses its identity, so to speak. But the power of God gives it a new identity, a growing plant producing a health-giving product, bread for the world. There are a lot of kernels in that bread, a lot more than were put into the ground, dying to live. Jesus was talking not about a hypothetical case, but about something you can see with your own eyes. It's happening today all over the world. Seeds are being put into the ground, and plants come forth. The fruit of those plants keeps people alive. The fruit of every plant comes from a seed which is dying to live. Jesus was talking, of course, about his own dying to live. He died, and he really rose from the dead. He's really alive. He died for the sins of the world, and now he is Lord of the world. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Forgiveness and new life from Jesus is the fruit of his resurrection. This fruit is multiplied every day in the lives of people, like the private who could not keep quiet about the glory of it all. He isn't dead anymore. He's alive. He's alive. There's a story about a man who had been born and raised in a log cabin and had been away for 35 years. He had a deep desire to return to his boyhood home for a visit. As he walked across the yard, observing the deserted cabin which had once been his home, he remembered that as a boy he had planted some walnuts along the bank of the stream that ran through his father's farm. When he reached the creek, he discovered a whole row of stately walnut trees. Then the man recalled that he'd also hidden some nuts in the upper loft of the old cabin. He was curious to see what had happened to them. He climbed into the dark loft and poked around in the corner until he found them. There they were, dust-covered nuts. The ones he had planted had grown into flourishing green trees. Jesus came to his mind as he had been raised by his parents in the faith of Christ. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Describing his own personal experience, leaving everything else behind and following Christ, Paul told people, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's eternal life, right here and now, as well as there and then. It's knowing Christ, trusting Christ, loving Christ as he loves you, admiring Christ and everything he stands for, and finally, following Christ. That's life, the joy of it all. Following Christ is like dying with him. It's dying to the old life and living the new life. It's dying to sin and living to righteousness. It is repenting of sin, which is a form of dying, giving up, not to despair, but giving up to God and receiving his forgiveness for the sake of Christ, and receiving it with thanksgiving. I'm crucified with Christ, said Paul, out of the depths of his experience with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The death of Jesus, as a grain of wheat, produces new growth on the face of the earth. A new root takes hold in the old soil, which has never known anything like it before, producing new life of joy and peace, which seemed unbelievable before. St. Paul always said, we are put right with God through faith in Jesus, crucified and risen again, and are at peace with God, with one another, and with ourselves. It's not necessary to go on living under the principle of dog eat dog. The forgiveness of the living God in Jesus Christ, received as a free gift, is meant to be extended to others as graciously as it has been given. Love from God, who had the courage to send his own Son for the life of the world, produces courage to extend the warmth of that love to others, even when it is least expected and sometimes little appreciated. That's life, in the midst of death, with hope based on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. Life, growing into the maturity of love, becomes the fruit of faith in Jesus. Life imbued with hope, the hope of resurrection, without which life becomes mere existence, the dull, dreary, and deadly thing that gives people fits and drives them to despair. The message of Easter is comforting in the biblical sense of the word. It is strengthening with new power and new life. It's forgetting the past in the grace of God's forgiveness. It's accepting the present as a time of growth in the grace and power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. It is facing the future with secure confidence in the Lordship of Jesus, just as he said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. It's dying to live. The private in the story was right. He isn't dead anymore. He's alive. Amen.
The organ selection you just heard was Christ Jesus Lay in Death's Strong Bands by Johann Sebastian Bach.
have been listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share this cassette with others? This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League.